Representative Hink and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Utilities and Energy. I'm George LaPointe. I'm Commissioner of Marine Resources. I'm also a member of the Ocean Energy Task Force. I should have written that in there. And I'm testifying in favor of LD 1810. As has been discussed, LD 1810 rather is a bill of many parts, most of which are addressed by others. I'm going to concentrate on three areas of interest, and I'll try to be brief as well. Why the Department of Marine Resources has been involved in the issue of ocean energy development, because that has been raised. The Renewable Ocean Energy Trust, and I'll actually probably skip over that with my oral testimony unless people have questions, because it's pretty self-explanatory. And importantly, and you've heard from other people, the importance of real engagement by all parties in the siting of future ocean energy sites to share the ocean for multiple values. Some stakeholders and commenters have recently asked why the Department of Marine Resources is involved in discussions of ocean energy development beyond telling everyone that all nearshore bottom is being used by one fisher and another and should therefore be ineligible for ocean energy development. The department is involved because the economic health of the marine resources sector is closely tied to energy costs. You've heard before already that Maine is very dependent on ocean energy or on fossil fuels for our energy mix. High energy costs cripple the fishing industry, processors and suppliers in Maine's coastal communities. During the deliberations for the Ocean Energy Task Force, it was stated that every time oil and gas prices increase by $1, $1.2 billion leaves the Maine economy. That's about $1,000 for every person in Maine. For fishermen and other high oil and gas users, the impact is likely higher. We all saw the effects of this, as people have mentioned, when oil prices went up a couple years ago. Given the reliance of Maine on fossil fuels and the impact of price increases on the Maine economy, it's critical to take actions to change this situation before we once again are hit by the potential economic runaway train that occurs with spikes in energy prices. As was mentioned in the Ocean Energy Task Force and as reinforced in LD 1810, we must begin to act now for the betterment of Maine citizens and economy. You can see the goal of the Ocean Energy Task Force of 5,000 megawatts of renewable energy by 2030, and you've already heard that this is going to take time. I believe it's imperative that we begin now and work purposefully towards this goal. I said I was going to talk about the Renewable Energy Trust, but it provides money for both impacts on resources, fish and wildlife resources, as well as marine resources, and working on some of the issues that impact commercial fishing activities and related uses, and I'm happy to answer questions and discuss that further. But the issue I really want to discuss is the need to figure out a way to continue working on how to share the use of our ocean. Current marine resources users use the ocean extensively. Inside of three miles, for lobstermen, for instance, we've got 5,800 licensed lobstermen, 1,200 go outside, so 4,600 lobstermen in state waters. That's a lot of users, 1,200 outside. So there's extensive use, and in early discussions with ocean energy interest, I was told that some people wanted exclusive use of potential ocean energy sites to insure against equipment damage and because of insurance and liability issues. I have said throughout this process that I believe that serious, meaningful work on how to co-locate uses to the extent possible is the key to succeeding. We want to have a healthy ocean energy industry, and we want healthy commercial and recreational fishing sectors. To succeed, interests have to work together on this issue. I'm sure that we can do this if we earnestly try. Many of the people you'll hear from later in the fishing industry have been engaged in these kind of processes, and it can be cumbersome and certainly can get heated at times, but we know how to do it. People in Maine are great at working on tough, complex issues. Applying that work ethic to this issue will result in the best outcome possible. The role of the Department of Marine Resources is to ensure that the voices of marine users are heard and that marine resource issues are addressed appropriately. Since the beginning of the Ocean Energy Task Force, the Department has been discussing this critical issue with the DMR Advisory Council at its regular meetings, lobster advisory councils at their regular meetings, lobster zone councils, and many other meetings as well. These discussions have to date largely centered around the deciding of demonstration sites and sharing of the ocean among different user groups. So there's been a lot of discussion about the broad issues. Obviously, the specifics we'll discuss now. In closing, I think it's important to recognize that LD 1810 is, rather than the end of the Ocean Energy Task Force process, the beginning of Maine working towards reduced reliance on fossil fuels. The process to date has included public meetings, public sessions with the task force, and repeated discussion about broad open energy issues with groups of fishermen. This was clearly the case as the Department of Conservation, State Planning, and the Department of Marine Resources worked with local communities and fishermen to select the best sites, test sites this summer and fall. Succeeding with the goals in LD 18 will take a sustained effort on the part of government, the fishing industry, other stakeholders, and energy developers to identify and address broad issues and site-specific issues as well, and to do this in a collaborative way. I believe we can and must begin today for the betterment of Maine's energy future and for the continued sustainable resource management and use of the abundant resources of the Gulf of Maine. That concludes my testimony. I'd be happy to answer what questions you have.
Thank you, Commissioner.